Justin, we have an incredible announcement for the people. Tell them.
Big announcement coming. Austin, Texas, this November, the second Intentional Fatherhood Retreat. We are pumped. What dates, Brooke?
November 12th through the 14th, you can join us in Austin, Texas for a weekend to get away and to be refreshed and transformed as a father. Tell the people what they can expect, Justin.
We're going to have incredible worship. We're going to have great teaching. We're going to have a community of dads all coming together, not just to hear a biblical framework on how to live intentionally as a father, but also to be equipped with tons of practical habits and help on how to do that. Most of all, though, this is the kind of thing where you come into a community of dads who are all trying to follow Jesus into fatherhood together. And let me tell you guys, this will change your life. So we want you there.
Come out, go get your tickets at intentionalfatherhood.org. You can get all of your tickets there. And please, again, join us. Austin, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast, where we explore what it means to live on purpose as a father and how legacy starts at home. I'm Justin Whitmore Early.
And I'm Brooke Moser. We'll be your hosts, and we desire to bring biblical hope and practical help. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the Intentional Fatherhood Podcast. Justin, we are here today. We're going to talk about money, providing. We're going to talk about work. We've been talking about all these things.
We're going to talk about whose introductions are better and whether that was as good as my last one.
I'm not sure, but here's what I could say. What would you tell the people if you could tell them one thing at the top of an episode that would be exponential for us and them? What's the best way for them to say, like, hey, this has been helpful, thank you? There was one way, or maybe a couple ways, what would you say?
Top of an episode, first thing that comes to mind is
anything.
Like, subscribe.
Yeah.
Send us a question.
Yeah, send us a question. Leave a comment, maybe. Anything like that that's really helpful. And on any platform, I have to say, it is pretty amazing to see, my team is letting me know that the Spotify community with the Fatherhood Podcast is showing up. I mean, they're about to outpace the Apple Podcast community. And you know what? Good. Let's do it.
Great.
Let's do it.
I'm agnostic. But the reason I like it is because, and we hear this from people, oh, your podcast just showed up on my recommendations. And that happens because people are liking and subscribing. We also hear people say, my friend sent me this and now we're listening together. Listen with your friends. This podcast is not for you. It is for you in community.
Yes.
Listen with your friends. And for the wives listening, we love you. We're so glad you are.
Yes.
We need to talk to your husband. So get him on this. We need to talk to him. I want to talk to him. Tell him I said so.
Also want to say, we have events. We have some live events. Go to our website, intentionalfatherhood.org. Check those out always. But I might be highlighting that I'm wearing some exclusive merch that was from just one of our events. So that's fun.
Dude, you did so good with my takeaways showing up at the first ever Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, the first conference I've ever put on / you put on and I came and spoke at.
But we
good your merch was. I'm like, this
it's
is
our
great.
Merch. It's our
but
merch.
It's our merch. That's true. Because we're one.
Absolutely. This is biblical.
But my only quibble with the merch is that you did not yet get the fox on it.
It's not a fox.
Wolf,
it's a
the wolf. Sorry. That's why you didn't put it on, because I still not sure. It's a wolf.
I just love that you said that of all people who should know. That's even better. But
people ask, like, is it a fox? I'm like, it's a wolf. But then I'm like,
it's a gender curious dog thing.
It's not a species curious fox. It's a wolf that knows it's a wolf.
So I want to let me just say this out. Let me say it here. You know, this is a public space to say this. If you give everything away the first time, and I don't mean give like cost, I mean, we have to go somewhere, right?
And you want the next and the next
wolf,
run of
the
merch?
Wolf, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying the wolf is great. And I think there's a lot of ways that we can use it. And so my first thought was like, let's build some momentum. And in there is a life lesson specifically to marriage as well. You got to warm up. So let's.
It's
move
good.
On to Wait, money.
I can't move on from the wolf to talk about money until I say, here's the reason I love the wolf. I loved it initially as a design.
Okay.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, then go to intentionalfatherhood.com.
Well, it's also all over our branding on this podcast. So hopefully you'll see it.
Yeah, you're going to see it. But I like it because there's this masculine part about the wolf that's, the lone wolf out there.
Yes.
But our wolf, his head is turning back. He's looking and realizing he's part of a pack and he needs his brethren. And that's intentional fatherhood. You're pushing out into the world, but then turning back and realizing I'm not alone.
Do you think that was accidental?
A pregnant pause. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I want to know on another episode.
We'll do
right now, episode. We got to talk about money, providing.
I'm just asking.
Your vocation.
The wolf, though, to just say this one detail, what I also loved about that, and when we were working on the process of choosing it, it was like if you had like some sort of mascot, which it's not. But it is because there is the lone wolf, which is a part of a situation. But if you understand wolf culture, and I'm very...
You're big into wolf culture.
I'm big into wolf culture. I'm not. Wolves thrive in a pack, but there are moments where there's the lone wolf situation and finding the pack is so important. Anyway, this is not why we exist, but it's a fun thing to talk about on the side. So let's talk about, we're in this season, season three, about calling, vocation, all of that. This is going to be kind of the start. We kind of mentioned it already, but of getting into the particular topics where vocation hits real life and really what then we are to do and how to look at different things, how to then build in habits and life structure to maybe support some of these things. The first topic we want to dive into, because it affects so much, it can help or hurt so much, both with too little or too much of it, and that's money and providing. And we want to do like a really deep dive. I would love for you, because we've been doing this. I mean, at this point, we're mind mapping all these details. I would love for you to read the mind map for this particular episode, because this is a funny one. And you did this one. You go.
All right. Yeah. So I'm thinking about money, providing, like, what are all the topics we want to cover? And they're different, you know, depending on whether we're talking to one of you young fathers who maybe, you know, your wife is pregnant and you don't have kids, you're not established in your career yet. And then some of you dads listening, you're way along in your career, you have different concerns. So I'm trying to mind map, like, what are all the things we're talking about? Providing. Here's my mind map. All the words touching providing. Family, money, riches, support your wife, exclamation point. Big on that one. Support your wife. Money does not equal evil, exclamation point. The love of it does. We'll dive into that. Generosity, simplicity, stewardship. My word touching that one, be careful of this word. It's too important to misuse. Teaching kids accountability and finances. And oh, wait, here on the edge, I hate taxes. It's on my mind map. It's the biggest word, but it's like kind of out there on the edge.
Yeah, it's been a hard tax season for Justin. He's really praying it through.
Dude, I hate taxes. Every time I think about stewarding my money well, I get mad about taxes.
And it makes sense.
I pay my taxes. And I think you ought to. You're allowed to lobby to change the law on them, but
I don't even think we have an option not to. Unless
no, we don't have an option not to.
Yeah, so I mean,
some people think you do,
And they usually go to prison eventually.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it goes. I love the mind map, and you know, here we go today. I want to talk about money. Before we talk about money, though, as it is falls into this bigger category of stewardship.
So
are you okay if we start with really doing a proper job of defining what stewardship is?
Yes.
And all that word actually touches. Because money's a one of like five, way more than five.
Yes.
But a lot of categories. But it's an important one. But I think there's probably three or four or five other really important categories of what stewardship is. So ironically, when we were talking about this, I was just sharing with you, as I've been processing my own life, I was journaling probably a week ago, and I literally was just naming things that I felt responsible for. Mm. And it was things like work for us, like the nonprofit, intentional, all that falls under that, my wife, my kids, my family. And the word that then just obviously popped up was stewardship. And so this took me on like a creative word search and understanding of like a deep dive of really trying to understand what that meant for me personally. Now,
yes,
at this moment, I don't even think we had landed on the idea that we were going to do some this season on work, but we hadn't talked
about whether money would be
money episode. Or even this word stewardship. That wasn't even actually, this was literally, and the best part about it for me is that it's been a personal marination that I've been focusing on. So like when we came to this, I was like, oh man, this is perfect.
It's good.
So yeah, what are your thoughts before we jump into or on that? Let's start talking about it.
Let me set it up with two passages of scripture.
Yes.
Big picture stewardship, because Father's listening. This is the main theme when you talk about money. Stewardship, like the word or not, heard it misused or not, maybe it hit abuses in your church. I don't know, but it is the primary biblical paradigm for money. So it is it. I'll give the super high level and then I want to hear your deep dive.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
First Timothy 6:10. So important. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Hear that again. It's not money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Oh my gosh, it's so true. One of the things that we want to warn you against is making an idol of money. And one of the primary ways you do that is by thinking it is yours. So, which is different than being a steward of something that someone else owns. And I think, I'm not going to read the whole parable, but I think so often of Luke 12, the parable.
I'm so glad you're mentioning it. Yeah. Yes. It's so good.
Jesus is warning people. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And look, maybe now's a good time to just throw this in. We talk about a lot of sins in the church, as we ought to, because the Bible talks about them. Mm-hmm. But one of the ones that I do not think by any stretch we talk about enough, because we don't talk about it as much as the Bible does, we don't talk about it as much as Jesus does, is greed, is the love of money. Jesus thought this was one of the most dangerous things. He talks about it all the time. The New Testament talks about it all the time. If we're going to steward our vocations well, our work well, our money well, we've got to get on the same page that Jesus, the Bible, the New Testament, God thinks greed is super bad, super dangerous. And so then he tells the parable about the rich man building silos and making all his plans. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. I'll store my surplus of grain. Things that could be mistaken, by the way, for holy ambitions.
Ooh.
Who knows if his friends were speaking into his life.
Call back to last episode.
But, you know, but you get a signal here. He says, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He's turning his vocation inward, not outward. This is what I'll do. Then I'll take it easy. I'll eat, drink, and be married. Honestly, sounds like a lot of you planning for retirement. So careful.
Because
sometimes we mask retirement as stewardship, and it's really just trying to, you know, take it easy, eat, drink, and be married.
That's good.
Well, we'll talk at the end. But then here's the point. God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. And the concept of stewardship is the answer to these problems, because it's where we realize what we have is already God's, always has been. In fact, I love it. In my church, we say this every time we take the offering. We say collectively more than this, but we say, and what we now offer is already yours.
Oh, like generosity
and giving
reminder.
Money away is so important, because it reminds us of this fundamental paradigm of stewardship that we have our life, our breath, our family, our work, and definitely our money on loan from God. It is His, not ours. So what do we do with it? So that's big picture.
Love it.
Drill us deep into it. Because otherwise money ruins people. It ruins the dads listening. How do we not let it do it? How do we steward? Your turn, Brooke.
Well, I just want to say thank you for setting it up so well, because it is such an important topic that we can easily miss. But that stewardship of finances, but that's only one thing that doesn't belong to us.
So we need to understand the bigger category, right?
So, I mean, in the rest of that passage, which I was waiting for you to read, but there's that one line in Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much will be required.
I should have read that.
No, you shouldn't. I'm just saying that's just, we're a team.
That's why we have each other.
That's why we have each other. I'm just saying that's the add-on there. if you've been given much, guess what? It's going to require much. Now, if you are married, if someone said yes to you, you've been given much. If God's given you the gift of kids, you've been given so much. No matter if you have a deep bank account or not, if you have money at all, you've been given much. If you live, we can arguably say this in general. Now, these are big generalities, but if you live and have shelter and food and a job and at least some things consistently to have health and be able to live, arguably you're doing better than the majority of a lot of other parts of the world. And to live in America is in many ways outside of, you know, homelessness, poverty, things that you can't always control, difference in things going on. You are some of the richest in the world.
If you're hearing this, it probably by nature means you have a smartphone, which by nature means you're doing great.
Exactly.
So this is for you. You've been given much. Yes. Now much is required of you.
And that's 1 Corinthians 4:2, which I was going to mention. It's required of stewards that they be found faithful. Much is given, much is required. Mm. But it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. Yeah. But let me say this, not successful, faithful. So God is not looking for you to be successful. Stewards do not have to be whatever the world would say is successful, but he is looking for people to be faithful. Mm. So what is stewardship? Faithful management of what belongs to God. That's essentially what you said.
Oh, say that again. I love that. That's good.
Faithful management of what belongs to God. And it belongs to him. It all does. And he's given it to you. He's entrusted it to you. But let me just tell you what that includes. Because again, this is my deep dive. This is where it's been like so life-giving, because I can sit and just go like, stewardship, nice, cool, and then forget of how and where it applies. Listen, this is going to hurt a little bit, all of us, myself included, yet again. So that stewardship of your time. How do you spend your time? You've been entrusted with it. You got to think about it. Your body. Ooh, I hate this one too. Because like there's times like Justin's trying to go to the gym after this. I'm like, I'm not going to go.
You should come, dude.
Oh, come on. Your relationships. You have a stewardship issue in your relationships. Friendships, spouse, kids, your influence. If you have it, now you got more work.
That's a big one.
So be close.
In the age of social media, that's a big one.
It's a big one. Yeah. Your resources. And then lastly, but not exclusively, your calling. You have a stewardship of a calling. We've been talking about this. Do you form it? Do you find it?
Would you say that's sort of a stewardship of your talent in that sense? Like what you're good at?
I would say what's in your hand to do, what you're made to do. I think there's a stewardship to even find, like God has put you on this earth for a reason. Mm-hmm. There was, I don't even need to go into it, but the fact that you even are a human on this planet is just insane. When you think about how many humans have ever been alive and will be alive, like the fact that we are here is such a huge gift to understand that. So let me just give you where does this get real? We are fathers. That most of the men listening are married. So let me just say this, friends, where this gets like really real. You have a stewardship over your wife. You don't own your wife. You've been entrusted with her. You've been entrusted with her heart, with her trust, and the environment of your marriage. Mm-hmm. So there's a stewardship issue, and what that can look like when if you're sitting there going like, well, what does that mean? That looks like creating a space where she feels emotionally safe. That doesn't mean you can't disagree. Emotional safety is not like you can't disagree with one another. It's that you can disagree with love and trust, knowing that you're not going to use that information to hurt them later. It's different. Good. So creating that honoring, you're honoring her. You're not managing her. You're trying to honor her, and you're cultivating connection, not control. Practically, what does stewardship of your wife look like? It looks something like that. You're not the owner. You're just responsible to show up and to be a person that cares for her. Think of cultivating language. Another one, because this is something that I was looking into, because I was thinking, okay, well, what does it look like? I'm thinking with my kids, what does that look like?
Wait, can I just note on that? I just think it's so helpful. Please. You can't understand stewardship of money unless you understand what stewardship is.
Yes.
And it's taking care of something that is someone else's. And I actually just think that is a very, very, very important point for a lot of men. Mm. Your wife is a daughter of the king. She's God's. God made her. Ooh. And it's an amazing thing that we have our wives. Mm. But the amount of dignity and respect, it's just so possible in any culture. I mean, so many cultures have had so many nasty men and so many nasty masculine traits. But it's by no means Christian masculinity to domineer over your wife, to expect that she is just for you in this world, that she's basically a tool of your either pleasure or possession. She's just far, she's more royalty than that. She's a daughter of the king. Mm. You must steward, you know, you, but yeah. you are the steward. You are the head of the household and you are in charge of making sure this goes well. But it's just a great category to see the bigger picture, but also to take seriously your respect and your relationship for that woman called your wife.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just laughing. It's like, Justin's just got back from a weekend away with his wife. He's been, you know,
I'm in awe of her.
Yeah, I can just, even as you're talking about it, your eyes are lighting up. I'm like, yeah, boy, I know that. I love that.
You just put that on air.
We can take it out.
But we won't.
But we won't. So, thank you for that.
Yeah, that's second part about stewarding children.
But even stewarding the kids, like, well, because here's where I think stewardship becomes a gift. Your kids came through you, not from you. They're God's. So just think about this for a second. They're God's kids. God has used you and your wife. He's done the miracle. Yes, he's used your biology. But this whole thing, this whole concept isn't, you didn't make it up. They're like, when God says they are his kids, like that's, he's used you to like, yes, they come from you, but they also come from God. And here's the beautiful piece. Is that I think that's a gift, because think about how many times we think that it is completely up to us as parents to save them, to hold them, to protect them, to keep them, to make sure that they're fine, to make sure that they have everything that they need. And we can sometimes take the place of God, mm-hmm. forgetting that God cares about your kids' health, their future, their sanity, their life way more than you do. Mm. And when we partner with him in prayer to actually see these things come to fruition, what a gift it is to remember we are not ultimately at the end of the day the only ones that are trying to contribute to their well-being. Yeah. The creator of the universe is. And so I think that's a huge part of it. And we have to remember, like, you can't control your kids' outcomes, but you set the table, you set the environment, you shape their environments, you guide, you bless, you release. These are the things that it looks like to steward your kids. I also just want to mention one more thing about, I mean, we could talk about stewarding your call. Actually, let me just,
are you about stewarding your organization?
I
think those, I want to make sure you hit on that, because then we're going to look up and be like, so you got to steward your money in order to care for wife, care for kids, care for your company. But do the organization one first.
Well, the organization, it's just stewarding your organization is simply like what we often think that a win for us is a win for the organization, but that is not always the case and usually isn't in lots of ways. I think that when you're thinking about stewarding a space, is it a place where people feel safe and are cared for and provided for? Are you setting up the kind of situation? You said this earlier. Is your organization set up to where you can help people actually live? And then if so, are you making the kind of decisions that can sustain it so they're not in a bad spot in the future? You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's the stewardship is like, how do you handle the finances of the company? Do you make wise decisions that are not just for a quick buck for those who are at the top, but is actually the best decision for everyone that would work and sustain the organization? So how do you steward your organization, right? And so that's where I think stewardship is a really interesting thing, because when you are a steward, it kills entitlement. And that's what what I've learned so much. Like when I'm a steward, I'm not entitled to like, well, that position or that thing or more money, because it's like, well, it's not technically mine anyway. So
yes, good.
It's my job to like actually not be entitled. And so it's a hard posture, but stewardship, why we wanted to start with this as far as a topic before money is because it affects everything actually. Mm-hmm. And I think if your fatherhood needs your stewardship.
Yep.
Your fatherhood needs your stewardship. And if you can steward and learn what that means and how to apply that to your wife, your kids, your company, and your calling, it's not going to solve your problems in life, but I promise you it will give you a lot less grief.
Yes.
A lot less pain. I mean, this side of heaven, we experience so much deep pain, but.
Oh, it's so good.
Fathers, we are so excited to let you know of two resources that myself and Justin have been working on. First, Sowing a Hidden Seed, daily prayers for your child's spiritual growth. is available exclusively right now at intentionalparents.org or intentionalfatherhood.org. It is a 31-day guide to help you pray and focus with consistency on your family, your children, helping shape their hearts while God shapes yours. And of course, you've heard about it. Justin's resource, his new book, The Body Teaches the Soul, is available everywhere books are sold. This book is about the 10 essential habits that build a healthy and holy life, habits that strengthen how you lead your home. So we want to just encourage you, if you have not grabbed those resources and those are helpful, please take a moment, get those now, and let's get back to today's episode.
Honestly, I say that like not just a transition. I'm like, it's so good because it honestly gets me excited about how to coherently view your money.
Yes.
So whether you're working in for-profit or not-for-profit, remember, that's not the dividing line of good or bad work or meaningful or non-meaningful work.
Yes.
The dividing line is, are you working unto the Lord in service of neighbor outward, or are you doing this for yourself? And that's going to be where you start to love money, root of all evil, bad stuff. But stewardship is this idea that when it comes to money, bring it back now, just like literally talking about money, do you use it for the good of those things that you are also stewarding? So your wife,
yes,
your children, your organization, your neighbors. And I put them in that order on purpose because this, I think, is just wise. So I think you should think,
yes,
dear listeners, fathers, listen up. I think you should think in concentric circles. Okay.
Surprise, surprise.
You're,
yeah. You love those overlapping
diagrams.
I love them.
No,
love them too.
Concentric is by nature not overlapping. They're, well, your one is nested in the other.
Let's argue about it on
not
the
Venn diagram.
Right now.
Picture
no,
it right.
I know what it is.
Picture a bullseye, like concentric circles getting wider.
Yes.
I'm joking. One of your first priorities of your stewardship of money is providing for your wife and kids. I would say probably that's your first call. Let's name some things that's not yet. That is not yet generosity, actually, because I think you need to be able to be generous to your family before you think in traditional terms of being generous outside, as in you need to be able to provide for them. If you're giving all your money away,
and you're not caring for what's
you're
in front
not
of
doing
you,
it right because you're not caring. So first, you're just thinking about, I just want to be careful with that statement. Some of you might mishear it. I'm not talking about providing for your family is more important than generosity. I'm saying in stewardship,
order's important.
Yeah, order's important. It's the first thing you do. You're providing. And some of you out there may not be. Some of you may be living on the youthful whims of, I'm not sure what I want to do yet, and your wife and kids are suffering.
But let me highlight one nuance the only reason I'm saying this is because as a pastor, this came up a lot. This statement. Well, I don't know if I don't feel like I'm supposed to tithe right now because but because I can't give my family the life I want if I take that 10% every month or as an example. And it's like, whoa, we're not talking about, just so we're clear, we're just talking about if you're not providing the very basic necessities for your family, then you need to, it's not just one or the other, right? And I think it's important to not try to talk yourself out of blessing, because that's what ends up, you know what happens when you're generous? The levels of blessing that come, and I wouldn't even say just come back at you financially, although that's a huge part of it, ironically, which is so interesting. It's the blessings of your heart that all of a sudden money doesn't take over. If you can't tithe when you're making no money, promise you boys, you're not going to be tithing when you make a lot. When that number grows, you are just going to be more and more stingy and find more and more reasons. You need to start now.
Yeah.
Because it's not even about giving the money. You can give it to the church, but there's a lot of good places to give money. Giving money away just helps your heart not become bitter and selfish. And so anyway, it's just to say all that. Keep going. I just wanted to say that.
I want to acknowledge, you put that better than I put it, because I think that's right. And I don't think there's ever a situation ever where you shouldn't be giving away at least 10% of whatever income you have.
Yeah,
I don't care how poor or stretched your finances are. But I just want to note that in the biblical paradigm, that leaves 90%, you know, at least, you know, 90% is, that's a lot. So you need to be taking serious care over stewarding your wife and children by providing for them.
Yes.
Now, let's nuance that with the concentric circles by mm-hmm. saying you are doing that in simplicity and with an eye towards generosity.
Mm.
So I think two of the virtues that we need to talk about and unpack what they mean. What does it mean to be generous? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to live simply?
Mm-hmm.
But I think you think about at the center, you need to provide for your family.
Mm-hmm.
At the next concentric circle, you need to steward your organization because that's going to be a big part. Now, some of you, this may or may not be true. If you're running an organization, both Brooke and I happen to, so this is important for us, but you might just be working somewhere
yes.
and that's fine.
It still works.
You still need to think about how am I being a part of that, but you're not yes. making the financial decisions. That's okay. But when I think about mm-hmm. my law firm, and I'm mm-hmm. sure when you think about intentional, we're thinking about stewarding this sort of extended household in some sense
yes.
of people that work with us and in some cases mm-hmm. for us. And there's a great mm-hmm. biblical paradigm for this that, mm-hmm. you know, Abraham had a household to take care of.
He yes.
had people that were depending on him, that he was kind to, that he was generous to, that he was living, you know, with and stewarding wealth for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. So mm-hmm. I'm first thinking about my wife and kids. I'm then thinking about the health of my organization. And then I'm thinking about the broader world, giving to my church, giving to the poor, giving mm-hmm. to justice causes, giving to nonprofit causes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, giving to things like intentional. You Brooke got mad at us because at the conference we were like, look, you should donate to intentional. It puts on podcasts like this. It puts on ministries like this. And some of you should. You should yeah. give to it. But finding organizations like intentional or something else that you give to. I think of these as sort of the concentric circles that without one, the other fails. If you lose generosity, your family fails. If you're not supporting your family, generosity fails.
Yeah.
So earlier I was kind of fumbling with words and you helped correct it because some of you want to hear this intention. We often frame it intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no, there's a coherent whole of stewardship
yes.
where you are providing for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You are efforting to live simply, not lavishly, because you want to be generous as you
yes.
provide. And these three categories, I think, stewardship, generosity, simplicity, are all worth exploring because they're parts of how we're going to steward the wealth that God has given us.
Simplicity.
You want to tackle that one first?
Well, tackle's maybe the wrong word. I think it's just simplicity is an interesting one because we have to really define it. But I'm just thinking of, because I want to be fair to anyone listening. Simple to one person might not be simple to the next. Now, that doesn't mean that you should just define simplicity as you want. And then that's the law, you know, or that's the rule. What we mean by living simply is that you're not living in unnecessary excess that takes away from other good. I mean,
that's a good way to put it.
It's just trying to highlight like what, because is simplicity not having a nice house? Is simplicity not having clothes? Or if you get into that list, now I know like there's scripture for this, yeah. there's ideas for this. I think it's just highlighting that if you're trying to go down and make an exact list of what simplicity is,
you won't find it.
It will be really yeah. tricky because then you'll just start judging other people pretty hard because mm-hmm. their list is different than yours or the list that you think you've calculated from everyone else. So I think simplicity starts even in the heart of like, am I just consuming and not giving? Where can I simplify my intake? Where can I simplify yeah. my, of all sorts of things? But
here's my best. I think simplicity is as important of a concept as it is hard to define. And that's okay. But here's my best take for you, dear listeners. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Go read the whole thing. But you know the passage, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's so interesting that the next verse here is the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Like, what does that have to do with wealth at all? What does that have to do with it?
Dude.
Right in the middle. Your eyes are unhealthy. Your whole body will be full of darkness. And the light within you is darkness. How great is that darkness? And then Jesus is back to no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one or love the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. Sandwiched in between this idea of be careful about your wealth, store up treasures in heaven. You can't serve God and money. is this idea that you have to see right. And I think better thinkers and writers than me have said that this is the idea. Simplicity, you can't serve two masters. You have to see one. There needs to be a simple integrity to what your vision is.
Good.
Which is, I think stewardship, good. Honestly.
Yes. Yeah.
It's saying, I have an integrity of vision, a simple vision, mm-hmm. which is one thing matters. My money is not for me, it's for other people. Hmm. I think that leads you to a couple probably practical conclusions. This might not always be true, but here's my best shot. You need one place to sleep, not multiple. If you have multiple houses, you literally can't sleep in two places at one time. If you have multiple houses, it should probably be because you are being hospitable and of great service to other people. Mm-hmm. Not because you want to show off how rich you are. That's loving money in yourself, not God. If you have more wealth than you can spend, and many of us do and will, that means you should be giving it away, not just spending, trying to figure out how can I spend it on myself. Mm. There's probably a limit to how many cars you need. There's probably a limit to how many pieces of clothing you need, how many mm-hmm. paintings you need in your house. You might say, this is beautiful, and that would be great. Buy an expensive painting to show off the beauty of God's creation, mm-hmm. to honor the artist, to be hospitable to guests. But don't buy 35 paintings to show off how rich you are.
Great.
Buy 35 paintings to show off how good creation is. That's fine. That's simplicity in my mind. What, and it could have a no painting result, it could have a one painting result, or it could have a 35 painting result. But either way, it's like, well, what are you doing here? Why are we doing this? Why are we buying what we're buying? I think simplicity means try to buy things once as much as you can. Mm-hmm. As in, don't buy something you know is going to break. That's buy cool. something that might be a little more expensive, but you know is going to last. Mm. That's simple.
Yeah.
And I think all of these have a singular vision about them, which is to say, my life is not about my stuff defining me and making me look this or that way. It's about stewardship of my money for the good of others. It's serving others. It's honoring the kingdom.
Yeah.
Glorifying God and his creation. Hard to pin down, but you ought to spend your life exploring how to live simply with your money.
I think I totally agree with you. Interestingly enough too, simplicity I think is, I wonder if it's less of, and I know it's true, it's less of a law and more of a wisdom principle.
It is, it's totally,
And the reason I'm saying that is because a lot of people, those who might be a little extreme, try to put it in law. Like, well, it's this and this, this many pieces of clothing. This. Like, if you're trying to put it in law, it's not law.
You've lost.
It's wisdom. Yeah. And what I mean is, think about when you have too much of anything, too much clothing. Now you have too many decisions you have to make when you're already decision fatigued.
Yeah.
When you have too many cars, now you have things to take care of. You know what the funniest thing is to watch? I've had a handful of friends, and it's been interesting to watch. They've gotten incredibly wealthy, like just came into money. My first thing is I will never ask them for money, and I don't. Second thing, and it's very important, is it has made their life so complicated. And what I mean is now they've got an opposite problem that they didn't even know. And like we're talking like—
It's the Timothy, and many have pierced themselves with many griefs.
It is so interesting to see. My therapist, again, back to him, said, because I was trying to process this with him. I'm like—
Things Brooks' therapist says for 300.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, we'll get him. I think he'd come on the show. It's a legend, dude.
Maybe we are.
75. He's incredible. But anyway, I was trying to process with him because it was just like so interesting to watch how money changes people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the only thing. Like there's other kinds of simplicity I'm talking about, but I'm specifically talking about those who have come on to a lot of money pretty quickly, and maybe they weren't ready in some ways to hold some of it, or maybe they were, but it's just distorted them a lot. And it's been interesting because he said there's two ways, really, as you boil it down, to receive money. And when money, like how you handle that money. Basically, that money comes in and you start living very differently, and everyone now knows that you make a lot of money. And that's going to change all of your relationships. It changes your status in culture. Mm-hmm. It changes your status in your relationships, because now you could take everyone on vacation. So when you could, but you don't, it can be like, and no one's ever said that they've even asked you or you're supposed to, but now there's like this expectation that you could, but why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a weird tension that no one's ever talked about.
Yeah.
But you could, but you're not. So what does that mean? You could, friend has an idea for a business. You could fund the whole thing and change your whole life, but you don't. So why? And, you know, so naming all of that, he's just highlighting all that. Or you make a lot of money and you don't live differently at all. And he told me a story about some people that he knew that came into a lot of money and they had the decision to make, and they made the decision that they were not going to change their cars, their house. I mean, just minor few things. But what they did do was buy an insane house cash in Italy and basically vacationed there as often as they could. And no one really knew that they made any more money.
This is a little bit of the discipline of secrecy here.
Yes, yeah. Which I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And they kept all their relationships. They didn't change their status in their community. They didn't become the people that everyone at church was trying to talk to because, like, we're doing a building project or mm-hmm. whatever the thing mm-hmm. was. They just kept it. I was like, man, that is such a beautiful reminder of how to think about success, money, all that stuff. But it comes down to, like, simplicity. Like, think about how much easier that is. Like, okay, we have this money and we want to do a good job of stewarding it. One of the things we're not going to do is make our life more complex by adding and adding and adding and adding. And so
I think this is
interesting.
That is super interesting. I also think it is still firmly in the wisdom territory of, you know, what's wise for you and your family to do with
yes,
your wealth.
Yes.
Because
that's good.
We need models who show us how to live with money wisely, how to give it away. And an overemphasis on secrecy, and I do mean an overemphasis because I think the vision you painted was beautiful, is
it's
like a withholding of showing people, yes. like here's how to be wealthy and handle it well. Like, here's how to give, here's how to spend it on the right things, you know? And I would hope, you know, a couple like that, for example, is letting lots of other people stay at their Italy house, you know, not just saying, oh, well, nobody knows about it, right?
There, I mean, the types of people that make that kind of decision, you can see have a lot of different deep convictions in other areas that would overlap with that kind of lifestyle where there's generosity built in. And of course, that's the case. But I think even when we're talking about, you know, you mentioned this and we chatted about this for a second before we hit record of, like, the spiritual discipline of secrecy. That's not the spiritual discipline of keeping secrets, just so we're clear. It's the spiritual discipline of doing something really rad or something really great happening or some money coming in or whatever and not talking about it.
Yeah, because you want to be careful about...
Well, no, because, I mean, what I mean is, like, not drawing attention to yourself. Basically, that really very real thing that when we do something great, we have to tell everyone about it. Yep. There's a lot of beautiful things in our life that aren't meant for everybody. They're actually just meant for you and God or you and a person, right? And it's to just say, like, there is a wisdom in not sharing. Now, some people take this way too far and they, like, just kind of err on anything that I do cool, I don't tell anyone ever. And that's like, okay, that's one angle and one way to do it. I also think, like, I agree with you. I think balance is so needed with even those who would get money and steward it well. We need examples. I'm saying, for me personally, I don't know if I could, like, make millions of dollars all of a sudden. And I would hope that I have the character to handle that well. But I'm also like, I don't know. That's not happened and it's not happening. So I don't know. It's a really weird tension to hold. So anyway,
it is. I mean, and
we're just talking about the tension.
If you want to dive into this tension, go to Matthew 6. That's where the passage I just read is. That's also the passage I think traditionally people pull secrecy from. It's earlier in verse 5, 6, and 7 about when you pray and fast, don't be like the hypocrites and show it off. But it says, go to your room, close the door, pray to your father who is unseen. Then your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
Yep.
And I just
think, reward you openly. Isn't it?
Yeah. But I think this, we obviously don't keep all our prayer and fasting in secret. So that we intuitively know from the context of the Bible that Jesus's command here was against people who were doing these things in order to gain notoriety for themselves, praying in public, say, I'm so holy. Because there's commands throughout the Bible to pray together and to fast together. So, but we know that Jesus was against this idea of using what he had given you to steward for your own self-aggrandizement.
Yes.
And so I do think simplicity and secrecy are good. Particularly secrecy is good, I think, when you think you are meaningfully at risk of not doing this well. It's a virtue to just say, let me just shut up about it. Let me not tell anybody that I just got a huge raise and that that might make my family look at me different. And that's a wisdom decision. But I think there's also a world where you embrace the idea that God is lavishing blessings on you. It's not yours. And you openly and vulnerably walk with friends and saying, how do I do this well? How do I do this well? And one thing, that's a lot of things that you'll have to do. But one thing we know, and the main thing, and this comes from the all over the Bible, is generosity.
Yes.
If you're not practicing giving money away, then you'll never be good at having money. You must practice giving money away. And I suggest giving increasing amounts of it away in order to be good at it. So two practical suggestions here.
Yes.
I have friends, and I like this idea. It's not a stated goal of Lauren and I's life, but it's a conversation I'd like to have of saying, hey, at some point, if things go well, our lifestyle should be capped. And we should actually talk about where is that? Where have we provided sufficiently for our boys? And where have I provided sufficiently for you, Lauren? Such, and we say that enough is enough, but our generosity remains uncapped. I would stated ambition of my life. I would like to die having given much more away than I have spent on myself.
Yeah.
Our boys go to private school right now. It is expensive.
Yep.
I'm sometimes embarrassed about how expensive it is. We've made the hard decision that I think this is a really good thing to spend our money on. Mm. But one of the things Lauren and I've talked about, not necessarily committed to, but we aspire to, is to one day having given more to low income Christian education than we ever spent on our own children. It's a goal, because we want to be more generous than we were even providing than ourselves for ourselves. So that's one. I think another, so the, and that practice, by the way, is have a conversation with your spouse about at what point do we have enough and how can our generosity never stop?
Yes.
Second practice I recommend is have a plan for your generosity. Lauren is so good at this. We not only had a plan that said we will always, at least every year, give 10% away. And the way that works for us, by the way, is because I run a business and I don't really know what I'm making, is that we base it when we file our tax return, which is almost always late, so in October, we then know what we told the government was our gross, you know, earnings. And we look at that number and we look at the gross number and we say, and some people look at net and that's fine. I recommend gross. Just if you can give more, give more. And we say, okay, we got to give away at least 10% of that. And then by the end of the year, we make sure to give that money away.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of planning, dude. That's been very hard. We've been in like bad spots before where it's like, oh, like this year was better than we thought. Did we save enough to give? We've been in spots where it's like, oh, that was more taxes. I hate taxes.
Yeah.
Did I mention I hate taxes?
I think that, in a mind map recently, you had
mentioned that. It's hard and it's taken us a lot of planning to get there, but we're starting to get into a better rhythm of saying, okay, here's how we steward our finances so that we can always be super generous. And lastly, Laura and I have also started, this is more credit to her than me. She's really pushed us in this direction of saying, what kinds of things do we want to be generous towards? So we've sort of divided up our giving into three buckets, evangelism and discipleship.
Okay.
Poverty and justice.
Okay.
And then, we just talked about this yesterday. Now I'm blanking on our third category. It was just local church. Oh no, it was faithful presence. That's right. Faithful presence. So like things that we give to affect culture, things that we give to alleviate poverty and bring justice, and then things that we give to help evangelism and discipleship.
That's so good.
And it's been great for us because it's like, here are three, there's many things to give to, but these are three things that we love. There are also three things that are happening in the local church. Lots of our giving is routed through our local church in order to do that.
Of course.
But it's given us a great way to think about stewarding. Like we think, even when we get a paycheck, like we're aware of other things besides our groceries this might pay for. And we have big goals of saying we want to help this organization do that, or we want to do an end of year gift like this. And that helps us just constantly know that the first fruits, you know, are given.
Yes.
Like when I talked about primacy earlier, like most of your money is going to be used to support your family. You should support it But the primacy, the primacy part, as you reminded everybody, is that you set aside that amount to give first.
Yes.
Like I never provide for my family based on 100% of giving. Or sorry, 100% of income.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm always thinking, oh, it's less 10% at least.
Yes.
And some of my friends just set that aside at the beginning of the year. I love it. But because with being a business owner, I never really know what it is.
It's so different. Well, each person's story, this is where it's like you have to apply your own story. I want to just note, I love your heart. Thank you for sharing that. And actually, I think, again, so many, I really agree with you that the idea of secrecy or the idea of success or stewarding, well, it's not one or the other. You know, and even as you, and this is where I love our friendship and relationship. You're changing my mind in real time. Like, I think secrecy is good. I also think it's really good. It's both. It's like not overdoing it is good, but also noting that God's doing great stuff is also good. And it's this weird tension that I think you need discernment in each moment to ask, like, is this from me? Is this from you? So I really agree with you on that. And I think it's also beautiful for you to give an example of what it looks like for you guys practically in the arena of generosity. Because I think that's a lot of it too. It's like, well, Justin, what does it even mean? Do I just like give 10% to the church or what? Like, does it have to be like this? Like, I think it's a good reminder. 10% is not a legalistic term, but I think it's a really great starting place. And I think that it's a starting place. So I'd say if you can get to a place where you, I know something that I pray into because I don't know how, but I would love to live off of 50% and give 50% away. Right. I would love to get to a spot where I live off great of 10%. And give 90% away. Now, again, I don't know how this can, I live nonprofit, remember? Yeah. It's different for me. But I mean, even to say like, just as a goal for me, like a stated goal that's something I'm processing through, I would love to one day as a nonprofit, I would love to be able to lead Intentional and work for Intentional and not have to have a paycheck from Intentional. Mm-hmm. That would be a stated goal. Now, I have no clue how that would happen because I still have to live.
Yeah.
And it's my primary job. But if there was a different way or you know, if something worked out, like those are things that I know are on my heart because I want to, I mean, it'd be so cool to like in my mind to dream about, like, it'd be so cool to work for a place and not have to take from it, but just a gift. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that for lots of reasons, but just we're going to wrap up today, but I want to just say this. Generosity. Yes, it is about money, but generosity, we're going to talk about stewardship. I have like three questions to ask yourself. But generosity, it's a heart issue, man. It's a heart issue because we're only talking about money. Do you know how amazing it is to be generous with your time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a gift it is when you look somebody in the eye when they're trying to talk to you and you don't feel or act rushed?
Mm.
That's generous.
Yeah.
When you give people a text back, even though you don't have to, but you do, generous. Mm-hmm. When you take time to have a conversation that you'd rather not have with a friend because you're tired, generous. Generosity is very, very, I mean, it's linked to money in one sense. Of course, that can make change. And we're talking about money and stewardship, but I just want to highlight because it's so important.
Is more.
Generosity is like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
I want people when they think of me to think, dude, that guy's a generous person. Like, and with money, sure, but in like any way, mm-hmm. I can be. I want to be generous.
Yeah, I often find money is one of the best places to practice it.
Yes,
because you don't give money because you suddenly became generous.
That's true.
You become generous by giving money. I just think it has taken us, Lauren and I, so much practice of saying, "We'll give." I don't feel like it, but we'll give. And I slowly become the kind of person who wants to give.
Yes.
I think you said earlier, your fatherhood needs your generosity.
Yeah.
Your fatherhood needs your stewardship.
Yeah.
But your fatherhood does need your generosity. And it needs you to be practicing giving money away to remind you that none of this is for you.
Yes. Well, it's your heart. Can I give one tiny story and then three questions to ask yourself this week?
I'll let you wrap it up.
Okay. So the story is I had a lot of pain points with my dad specifically, but my dad was, on the flip side, one of the more generous people I'd ever met.
Hmm.
He was always giving everything away all the time, like constantly, as much as he could. He would just, whether it's buying a meal or doing a thing. Countless things. It's hard to even describe how generous he was with so many different things. But I'll just say this. people really like being around generous people. And I remember thinking through as, you know, as a kid, you just kind of pick these things up. But like, I remember noting that, like, my dad was like, why is he always giving people? Like, if somebody asks for something, he just gives it. He doesn't always even think. He just does it. He's like, I'm do it. And the countless people you bless by just being present to generosity, it's just incalculable. So anyway, it's just to say, like, the generosity lifestyle is, yes, of course, starts with money, but it also extends, as we said. When it comes to stewardship, I think there was three things I jotted down. This was, again, in my own personal processing, but there's three things that I was processing through. And it was the first question, and this is for you this week. Like, when you're thinking about stewardship, yes, money, but what have you been given? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
Name it. Name your kids, name your wife, mm-hmm. Name it. What have you been given? I promise if you let yourself go, it's a lot. It's insane. Like, when I started making this list, I was like, this is big. What does faithfulness look like here? What I mean is where you're at right now. What does faithfulness look like in this area?
Yeah.
Your wife, your kids, your money. So name those things, like identify where you've actually, what have you been given? And then what does faithfulness look like to that? And we kind of talked about that. And then just asking one more deeper question, and this is what I've been working on, what needs to change and how I'm handling it. So I think that's the other part, is certain things that I'm stewarding, I'm not stewarding well. Mm-hmm. Like, I might be stewarding money well, but not my family well, mm-hmm. or vice versa. And it's to get to a place where I can recognize, no, I can't need money more than I need a healthy family. I need to remember a priority there. And so what needs to change? And again, this is honest reflection tools. If you're sitting around listening to this, or if you guys are looking for stuff to say, what do I take to the group this week? What should do that? Answer those questions for yourself. What have you been given? What does faithfulness look like in those areas? And what needs to change so you can handle it better in stewardship more effectively? So this is a big part of your vocation, men. It's a big part of your work.
Yep. What are you going to do with that money that you make? Give it away. Live simply. Provide for your family. There's a famous saying, time is money. And I have often found it much easier to give away money in my recent life than it is to give away time.
Oh, I know.
I've actually found it easier to order money than order time. The budget money than budget time.
You can order money? I wish I could.
Order your life of money.
I didn't know you could order money. What are we talking about?
Dude, there was an incredible credit card scheme about 15 years ago. I think the Federal Reserve was selling these new type of quarters. And people were using credit cards to buy quarters. So they would buy thousands of dollars of quarters, obviously take it to a bank, pay off the credit card, and they'd just made points, like just cash points. Like, and then the Reserve realized they should stop taking credit card. And the credit card companies were like, you can't buy money with money. But there was a neat moment.
Wow. Time is money.
I've found it easier to order my life of money recently than to order my life of time. Mm. You got to talk about time and work. How do you manage productivity, balance time with your family? I say, Brooke, let's come back and talk about that next week.
Let's do it.
See you next time.